Audacity. Who gave you attitude?
A teenager in Bridgetown is about to get the green light to become the first 18-year-old Barbadian senator. And more in this edition of the Caribbean News Roundup. I'm Ken Richards, the news coming right up. A teenager tipped to make political history in Barbados if he gets the nod of approval to become the island's youngest ever senator is equally stunned and humbled. Barbadian scholar Khalil Coffeywalder told Barbados Today he and his family were still shocked at the announcement by Prime Minister Mia Mottley that she intends to seek a constitutional amendment that would allow him to serve in the upper house. "It really isn't anything that we were expecting. We didn't know that it was going to happen. As I say this, it still hasn't quite sunk in," he said. Here's the part of the Mia Mottley national address that sets the stage for Khalil to begin grappling with parliamentary matters.
"During the election campaign, I made a promise, a serious promise to engage our young people and to bring them into the center of governance and national self-determination. It is, in my view, an anomaly that a person who is 18 years old in Barbados has the right to vote, but they do not have the capacity to serve in the Senate of our nation. It is therefore my intention to correct this by asking the Cabinet to agree and Parliament thereafter to bring a constitutional amendment to allow an 18-year-old to serve in the Senate of Barbados for the first time. I propose, should it be accepted and successful, that Senator Khalil Coffeywalder should be that person who will serve as a senator."
A 5.3 magnitude earthquake and a series of smaller tremors have struck southwest Haiti, killing at least two people, sending panicked residents into the streets and forcing authorities to close schools, Al Jazeera reported on Tuesday. The U.S. Geological Survey said the first earthquake on Monday morning struck near the city of Lekai, about 120 miles west of the capital, Port-au-Prince, followed by tremors of 4.4 and 5.1 magnitudes. Two people were killed, the Associated Press and AFP news agencies reported, citing Haiti's Civil Protection Agency. AFP said a man died when a wall collapsed in Anse-de-Veyre, a small coastal town 80 miles from Port-au-Prince, while a second man died in a landslide in Fontenay, 12 miles further south. Nearly 200 houses were destroyed and around 600 others damaged, according to the local civil protection agency. Rescue teams reported about 50 people were injured. In Jamaica, the head of state of the cockpit country, Chief Richard Curry, has made it clear that the Maroons do not intend to wage a war of any kind with the government of Jamaica. The Maroons are concerned, however, that the government, in their view, in recent times rejected their claims of sovereignty. In an Instagram live video, Chief Curry made several revelations while calling for diplomatic dialogue with the government. He says the Maroons are resolved to work with the Andrew Holness administration to bring a resolution to the challenges, but not in a divided way. With that report, here is CVM News.
"A solid attack on their legacy and their heritage. That's how Chief Richard Curry of the cockpit country sees the recent comments surrounding the Maroons' sovereignty.
We're not here to divide anyone. We're not here to create problems. The Maroons have lived for over 300 years in these hills unprovoked. We have not been at war since signing off that treaty."
The chief spoke of a meeting held on Sunday with members of the indigenous tribe and their legal representatives.
"It was made clear in that meeting that a contact from the government had reached out to Colonel Sterling in an effort to arrange a meeting with the Maroon chiefs, only that the terms of this meeting would be that Chief Curry not be included."
The colonels present agreed with the meeting excluding Chief Curry. This after a decision was taken by all to submit their concerns on the rights of Maroons to the government as a collective.
"We all want this to be a peaceful and diplomatic resolution. I will not continue and join the nonsense that's being spurred in the media. We're not trying to create a divide. We're not creating a threat to the state. We're not here trying to overthrow anybody. The Prime Minister has his job and I have mine.
Chief Curry notes that he is unclear as to what may have caused his fellow colonels to change their minds.
Makes no sense having what we would term, or what is being termed, an icebreaker meeting that does not involve the voice of the representative of the territory that seems to be causing all the chaos.
Robeanne Williams for CVM Live.
Residents in the Grenadian community of Cook Hill are expressing disappointment following a vicious attack on a Chinese businesswoman and her son. As GBN News reports, the attack took place on Friday during an attempted robbery.
The mother and son, who are Chinese nationals, operate a popular restaurant in the heart of Grenville, St. Andrew, and has been living in the parish for more than 7 years. Police confirmed that at around 11 p.m., the individuals were attacked in the vicinity of the Old Church Sendell Street, Grenville, just a few houses away from their home. Both mother and son received chop wounds and are presently warded at the General Hospital in stable condition. GBN spoke to community members in the area who said they are disheartened and unsettled about the incident, as many described the victims as polite and friendly.
From since we living up here, we born and grew up in Cook Hill. Cook Hill is not like that. So, I don't know, I was not around, but I hear that. And I know Cook Hill is not like that. Everybody know them and them. We know them is like peaceful people. They doesn't interfere with anybody. They walk the road, peaceful, go and come back. And I'm really sorry for them, what I hear.
Because these people, they've been here for a long time. They're very polite, very humble. And they don't interfere with anybody. And for somebody to just, in this area here, we don't really have that going on too. And we scared too.
Rather concerned to know that something like that happened actually here. It's the first time something like that happened.
They mind the business, me too. They don't interfere with nobody and they're serving food. I don't know, it's terrible.
One eyewitness who was fearful of being interviewed on camera stated that after hearing the excessive barking of her dogs and strange noise, she opened her front door to see what was happening and was in shock to see the attack on her neighbors.
The police force in St. Lucia have come under scrutiny, with a family complaining that an officer handcuffed their relative to a utility pole and left him there for more than 12 hours. The man is accused of stealing produce from a garden. His daughter is condemning the treatment meted out to her father. More on that story from NBC Prime News.
Sarat resident Maximilius Daniel allegedly spent more than 12 hours handcuffed to a utility pole. That's according to his daughter, Williana Joseph, who alleges Daniel was restrained by a police officer.
He tell me whilst he was handcuffed to the pole, some persons was pouring bucket of water on him, who gave him pakutla, lash of cutlass. That's what he told me. I don't know.
Williana Joseph says her downtrodden father is a known larcenist in the Sarat area. Maximilius Daniel, according to his daughter, steals crops from backyard gardens and has been reported to police on previous occasions. On January 21st, Daniel was again suspected of pilfering a Sarat garden. The responding police officer, Williana Joseph, alleges, also happens to be a relative of the complainants.
News came to me telling me that my father stole sour oranges from someone. I get to find out the police officer who handcuffed him to the police, some related to the family, some family thing. So it's her family. My father went to steal from. But I'm not supporting this kind of inhumane. I'm not supporting it. There are many good police officers out there who stand on law. They are there to serve and protect us, not take laws into their own hands.
Williana Joseph is condemning the treatment meted out to her father, allegedly at the hands of a law enforcement officer.
I support the police for doing their job, but I didn't like the fact how this particular police officer handled this incident. She could have arrested my father, made a report, took him down to the station, and let the law take its course.
According to NBC Prime, Daniel was not charged with a crime. His daughter has meanwhile taken her complaint to the police complaints unit. The matter is said to be under investigation. Dominica has revised its travel protocols with a special goal in mind. Roy Sanford reports from Roseau.
In an attempt to lure more visitors to Dominica in light of the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, the island has revised its entry protocols for travelers from the United States. The measure, which goes into effect this week, will be for vaccinated travelers only. In a statement, the Ministry of Tourism said, in addition to existing protocols, all fully vaccinated travelers from the United States only can now upload a pre-arrival negative rapid antigen test results from swabs taken 48 hours prior to expected arrival into Dominica. The statement said the rapid antigen test results must come from a certified facility. No rapid antigen home tests or self-administered tests will be accepted. This is a major departure from the original protocol, which required visitors to submit a PCR test result taken 72 hours before arrival on the island. Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Tourism, Lisa Valmon, told state-owned CBS Radio that local authorities realize many U.S. visitors have been facing difficulties in obtaining the 72-hour PCR test result.
And that's the Caribbean News Roundup for today, Wednesday, 26th January. I'm Ken Richards. Thanks for listening.
The Caribbean News Roundup. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 7:30 a.m., 12:30 p.m., and 6 p.m. Let's get to know our region even better with OSAR Radio.